32. Begin reading in verse number 26 and verse number 27 in just a moment or two. On occasions, I have had the opportunity to counsel with people whose marriages were in very, very, what we would say, deep trouble. And the time that they have come to the pastor, time that they have come to me, it seems like they have already have given up all their hope. I think the sentiment that oftentimes that expressed to the pastor is something like this: Pastor, there's nothing that can save my marriage. And they add this caveat: he will never change, or the opposite, she will never change. And it is somewhere along this time that I have to remind them of the limitless power of God. Let's see what this passage has to say in Jeremiah 32, verses 26 and 27. Who would read that for the pastor this evening? All right, thank you, Brian. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this evening. We thank you, Lord, for this time of delving into the Word of God. And I pray, Father, as we think on this thought, is there anything too hard for me? I pray, Father, that you would help us to understand that even in the difficult and trying days that we live in, there is nothing too hard for you. Father, you're a God of limitless power. And Father, when all our power has run out, Father, may we just turn our eyes upward to heaven, and may we just rely on your power and your strength. So Lord, we just love you and we thank you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Listen to what verse number 27 says again. You can follow along if you like. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? You see, God is asking this question to the nation of Israel, but it's certainly one that you and I can make applicable to our life as well. And we ought to consider this question as well. Is there anything too hard for God? And this is the question that nags at the heart of Christians. It nags at my heart sometimes. No doubt it nags at your heart. And oftentimes our response is this: well, no, but then we put that three-letter word in, but. We know there's nothing too hard for you, God, but. And I want us to consider this idea as we look at this thought of, is there anything too hard for me? God asking that question to you and I. And so all of us have struggled with this thought at some point in our Christian walk. And I want to consider tonight three things about this question that God is asking the nation of Israel, and by way of application, you and I tonight. Notice, first of all, the answer to the question. The answer to the question. Here's the question again: is anything too hard for me? So what is the answer for that? Well, I think from a theological standpoint, the answer would be what? No, that's exactly right. From a theological standpoint, the answer would have to be no, because there is nothing too difficult for God. You ever heard somebody say this when you're trying to witness to them, or someone's being a skeptic, or they're just trying to get on your nerve case? They say, hey, David, could God make a rock so big that he couldn't lift it up? You ever have people ask that? Or did Adam have a belly button? Ask stupid questions like that. All they're trying to do is really just get on your nerves. And either way you answer that question, you feel you're going to have to deny God's his power, his impotence. So guess what? The best thing to do is not really to answer them. But understand this, that theological standpoint, the answer would have to be no. But from a practical standpoint, the answer would seem to be the opposite. It would seem to be yes as well. But the Bible is not embarrassed to admit there are some things that the Lord cannot do. You see, in Hebrews 6 and verse number 18, the Bible tells us that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. So as we look at it practical standpoint, it would seem the answer would be yes, because the Bible tells us that God cannot lie. In James chapter number 1 and verse number 13, it tells us this: for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13, it states that God cannot deny himself. So these passages really don't take away from God's omnipotence. They teach us that he's only limited by his own perfection. And because God is perfect, guess what? He cannot lie, he cannot be tempted with evil, and he cannot deny himself. So no good thing is too difficult for the Lord, and no evil thing is too strong to overpower him. Think about that. That's a grand definition of the omnipotence of God. Nothing, no good thing is too difficult for our Lord, and no evil thing is too strong to overpower him. I want you to consider some impossible situations that we have find in God's Word. I think, first of all, where God appeared to Sarah when she was 90 years old and told her that she was going to have a baby. And the thought was so ridiculous, what did she do? She laughed, exactly right. And then God rebuked her with the same question that he asked Jeremiah in Genesis 18 and verse number 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And sure enough, a year later, she gave birth to a son whom he named Isaac, which in the Hebrew word, do you remember what his name means? Laughter, exactly right. And every time Sarah called out her son's name, she reminded herself of the day that she laughed in the face of God at the thought of an impossible situation that God says was going to come to pass. A few years later, after the Lord told Sarah's husband, Abraham, to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. You remember that passage of scripture in Genesis chapter number 22, verses 1 through 12. Well, Abraham did, I hope, what you and I would do. He obeyed without any question. And God even had him stop at the very last moment before he plunged that knife down into Isaac to make that sacrifice. And when the Lord saw Abraham's willingness to obey, guess what? It was enough. Do you know why Abraham was ready to sacrifice his son? Well, Hebrews 11 and verse 19 tells us this, that Abraham, the Bible said, believed that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. You see, that's why he was a concern. If God said that he was to sacrifice his son, he had faith and belief in God that if he had to sacrifice him, God would raise him up. I think at that point in history, no one has ever been raised from the dead. But Abraham knew that not even a resurrection of a person was too difficult for the Lord, and he was willing to obey God's divine command to prove it. Boy, when you think about that, I wonder how much faith do you have? You have that same kind of faith as Sarah, the same kind of faith as Abraham. Well, not only is there the instances of Sarah and Abraham, but in Joshua chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, we find another example. And when Joshua was leading the army of Israel to victory over the Amorites, darkness approached before the job was at hand. And so what did he do? Do you remember the story? He asked the Lord to make the sun stand still until we could finish the job. Basically, he said, God, the job's not done yet and it's getting dark. Could you hold the sun still? Could you keep the sun up so I can finish the job? We think about that. Would we have enough faith to pray a prayer like that? Or would we say something like, well, that's a pretty foolish prayer. You think God's going to stop the sun? Well, you don't know unless you ask him, amen. And so he asked by faith, and God replied by faith. And I think it really depends whether you believe it's a foolish prayer or not. If you believe that halting the rotation of the earth is too difficult for God. If God desired today to stop the rotating of the earth, could he do that? Yes, he could. There's nothing too difficult for him. And it's too hard for him to overrule all the side effects of that miracle. So he stopped the sun, perhaps stopped the rotation of the earth, and didn't allow the earth to do all the things that they say is going to happen if we would stop spinning in rotation. Well, we have the instances of Sarah and Abraham. We have the instances of Joshua as he led the nation of Israel to victory over the Amorites. But then consider for a moment our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Think about this. He enters into Bethany where his friend Lazarus, the Bible tells us, has already been dead for over 4 days. And the first thing that he hears coming from the grieving sisters in John 11 and verse 21 is simply this. Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother has not died. Remember when you're reading that passage of Scripture? Do you remember, does the Lord ever apologize for being absent when Lazarus was sick? Did Jesus apologize and say, well, I got held up down the road. I'm sorry about that. Is that what the Bible teaches us? No, absolutely not. We find the Bible says he raises him from the dead. And the funny thing is, the grave clothes and all. Nothing is too difficult for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, let me get you something settled in your heart today. And the question is simply this. Settle this in your heart about God's ability. His ability to do whatever is necessary is limitless. It worked for Abraham and Sarah. It worked for Joshua. It worked for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. His power is limitless. Well, we see the answer to the question, but then let's apply this truth to our life. Let's look at the application to this question. Sometimes our doubt, believing that God is limitless and God can do whatever he desires to do, it centers around our own sinfulness. You know, sometimes a person might think, you've been witnessing to people before, and they say, well, God can't save me. There's no way God can forgive me. He doesn't know all that I've done. I'm too wicked for God to forgive me. And most of the time, really, what that is, it's just a camouflage. They're hiding, really, an unwillingness to surrender their life and soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people do have a serious problem receiving divine forgiveness. Even Isaac Watts, when he wrote in his hymn at the cross, he wrote this, "At last and did my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die." But notice this last stanza, "Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I?" Listen, if you're having trouble believing that God could forgive you, you need to take your eyes off your sin and put your eyes on him and his son's perfect sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Put your eyes on Jesus Christ. And I think the wonder of his love is that he knows perfectly well how depraved you are. He knows perfectly well what sin that you have managed to get yourself into. And guess what? He died for you anyway. In spite of your sin, he still died for you. And that proves that nothing really is beyond the reach of God's strength. Well, we see that sometimes as we apply the truth of this question that our doubt centers around our own sinfulness. But then sometimes we doubt, get what? Get this now, because we don't see our prayers answered. We don't see the prayers answered that we raise up to him. All of us, no doubt, have a desire for unsaved family members to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of you have been praying for years and years and years, and your loved one still is not saved. You witness to them, you share the gospel with them, and then you pray for them, you love them, but guess what? They still are not saved. And sometimes we may even feel that we're at the mercy of their unbelief. And understand this, and he wants to save them, but we believe he's hindered by their stubbornness. I want you to know that he saved you. And if he can get through to you, your hard head, he can get through to their hard head as well, their stiff neck as well. He can make us willing to receive his son. He opens our eyes to the truth, the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And immediately when that happens, we fall in love with a wonderful Savior. Nothing is too difficult for God. Well, we see sometimes we doubt God's limitless power because of our own sinfulness. And then sometimes because we don't see our prayers being answered. But then thirdly, we find that sometimes it's because of temptation that we may doubt the Lord. You know, we may easily yield to the worldly pleasures this life has to offer. But even as a Christian, we feel helpless against them. You know, and sometimes we just feel that we're tempted and we have fallen and we seek forgiveness and we feel just so helpless against the temptation. And the result is that we are a very easy target for the fiery darts of the devil. The devil has your number. He has my number. He knows exactly what to tempt you with. And so, listen, don't confuse the Lord's power with our own power. We can't defeat the devil in our own power. We only can defeat it in his power. And we know that we are no match for temptation. If any man says, hey, I can handle temptation, listen, you're wrong. You cannot handle it. Don't assume our heavenly Father is all is well because you think you can handle it. Listen, you cannot handle it. You see, God is able to liberate us today from maybe alcohol abuse or drug addiction, maybe from smoking or even lust or profanity. Maybe you have a temper and you have anger problems. Maybe you have jealousy. Whatever it is, understand this, that Jeremiah 32 and verse 27 says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" There's nothing too hard for God. Consider the other areas of our lives. There are many areas that we could apply this question to in our text. And maybe you've given up hope. Maybe you're looking at your marriage and you think there's no way that God could ever restore this marriage to what it used to be. Listen, we serve an unlimited God, a limitless God. He can restore your marriage. Is it too hard for the Lord to straighten out your wayward children? They were raised right. You taught them right. They received Christ as their Savior, but yet they're living in the world. Is it too hard for God to work in their life and straighten them out? Can He heal that one that has a terminal disease? Will He answer your prayers? Can He find you the right job that you need? Here's the thing. He can do all those things. He's the Lord, and nothing is too difficult for Him. It might seem to be difficult for me, and it might seem difficult for you, but there is nothing too difficult for Him. Notice thirdly, the admonitions from the question. This question really practically applies to me and you in two different ways. The first way, it urges us to seize those seemingly hopeless situations as wonderful opportunities to trust the Lord. Instead of looking at it in the negative way, say, okay, Lord, I don't understand this, but I'm going to seize the opportunity, and I'm just going to trust you that you are a limitless God. Nothing is too difficult for Him. Surely God's worthy of our trust. Surely God is worthy of our faith. Surely God is going to take care of our everyday problems, just as He is in those once-in-a-lifetime problems that come along. And our problem is that we don't turn to Him on a regular basis. We kind of reserve this limitless God for the big problems in our life instead of those regular things that come into our life. Nothing is too difficult. And secondly, Jeremiah 32 and 27 encourages us this, to act in faith. You know, it's easy to believe the doctrine of God's impotence. It's easy for us to do that. It's easy for us to do that. But when an impossible situation comes into our life, can we stop worrying? Can we stop worrying and start trusting our God and our Lord to see us through that? That is where the trouble comes in. And so we got to have the faith. We have to act on faith, and we have to seize those hopeless situations as wonderful opportunities to trust the Lord. Well, let me ask you tonight, what is your impossible situation? Are you facing an impossible situation? God has brought this passage and this verse to my mind as I look at things in my life. What's the impossible situation in your life? What is the most difficult thing in life that you need for God to accomplish for you right now? God said, is it too difficult for you to trust an almighty God? Notice the verse again. The Bible says, is there anything too hard for me? The real weakness doesn't lie in the Heavenly Father. The real weakness lies in us and our faith in Him to be our God. Is there anything too hard for me? If you don't take anything away from this service tonight, I want you to take that thought away. God is saying, is there anything too hard for me? And then we would have to say, no, there is not, because you're a limitless God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. We thank you, Father, where you boldly have said, is there anything too hard for me? And Father, by the way of application to our life today as believers, Father, we would have to answer the same way Israel would answer and say, no, there is not. God, you're a limitless God. You're an all-powerful God. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be ever so reminded this coming week, Father, that no matter what the situation comes, whether it's a once-in-a-lifetime situation that we are approaching, or whether it's just the ordinary things of everyday life that we have to make decisions about, that, Father, we would trust you. Father, that we would seize every opportunity in seemingly hopeless situations as wonderful opportunities to put our trust in you. And then, Father, this verse also encourages us to act in faith. So, Father, we're saved by faith, and, Lord, we're thankful for that. And, Lord, we pray, Lord, that we would actually live by faith instead of just mere words. So, Father, be a help to your people. We love you, and we thank you, Father. Give us strength in this area of understanding this. Is there anything too hard for me? So, Father, bless now this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.